Oh, my gosh. Welcome, everyone, to the Road to Recovery radio program on the Internet. I'm coming to you live from West Chicago, and my name is Dan Chuba. I am a alcoholic in recovery. But a bump, let's see, by the way, today is September 7th. This is a live program, so we're coming to you live, September 7th. That means what? I have 19 years and 7 days of continuous sobriety. But I'm bump. But who's counting? Of course I am. I just celebrated 19 years, guys. How about that? And 7 days. But you know what? It's just one more day that I've managed to stay sober and alive and above ground. And every day we're above ground and sober, it's a good day, isn't it? Of course it is. A good day for you, good day for me. What a beautiful day the Lord had made. God, today was just absolutely gorgeous. We've been enjoying some wonderful weather. I know there's some storms here and there, you know, but still, not bad, really. When you think about it, not bad at all. We've had some wonderful weather. I hope you did something wonderful. Too bad the Bears lost. If you were a Buffalo Bills fan or whoever they are, congratulations. Your team did well. They hung in there and beat our team. You know, I'll tell you what, that is one sport I still miss playing and glad I didn't play because those guys, my gosh, their bodies, what they take. Okay, this being September 7th, this being the Road to Recovery radio broadcast brought to you by Blog Talk Radio and Linked Local Network, okay, Linked Local Network where you find lots of self-help programs being broadcast throughout the week. But we're glad you're joining us tonight. As you have, actually, we've been on the air now since May of 2012. That's right. We've been on the air for over almost two and a half years and have not missed a Sunday. Sunday nights, we always broadcast live. So if you're out there for the first time listening to the show, welcome. Hopefully we'll have something intelligent to share with you. If you are listening for a repeat time, we always value and appreciate your loyalty. And maybe, again, this might be the week that you might want to call in and share some of your experience, strength, and hope, or just a comment or have a question. What is the purpose and the premise of this show? People have asked me, the Road to Recovery. Well, you know what? Being a drunk in recovery, I haven't had a drink in 19 years, 7 days, but who's counting? But a bump. But you know what? When I did drink, I always drank to excess. That's correct. I always drank to excess. And you know what? Not always. That's really not true. Okay? But when I did drink to excess, I was a mess. And not only that, but there was a true mindset, a way of thinking. You know, my dad used to call it thinking, stinking thinking. But he used to attribute that to when we were sober growing up. Okay? I will use my dad's incredible ability to meld words, stinking thinking, and let you know that today I had some stinking thinking, man, when I drank. Generally when I drank, even when I wasn't drinking, but I was in a drinking state of mind. I wasn't much of a father, okay? I apologize to my daughters and my son for not being quite there for them as I could have been. And I do also believe that some people are just not meant to be parents, okay? And, you know, maybe it's a cop-out excuse, but... But you know what? I am grateful, and I want to send a shout-out to my daughter's stepfather who adopted them and raised them, Brian and Rick, for being great stepdads and, you know, being good to them, raising them well, okay? There's another one. What's his name? Doug, okay, helped raise my son. Thank you. Okay, probably easier for me to say this over the air than if it would be to sit there and look him face to face, but you know what? That's okay. I'm just going to be an honest person. I'm going to tell you how I feel, what goes through my head, what goes through my mind. Maybe you don't want to hear it. Maybe I shouldn't tell you, but you know what? It is what it is. I'm proud to be an alcoholic in recovery. That's right. You know, when I was out there drinking, people knew I drank, and I tried to hide, and I wanted to make believe that nobody knew that I was drinking. And yes, we all know how ridiculous is that, okay? Yes, people know we were drinking. That's right. How could they not know that we were drinking? How did they not know that I had a problem, a drinking problem? I did have a drinking problem, okay? And I'm glad today that I am working at it one day at a time, okay? Now, this is a live call-in show. I posted you on the blog. What did I do? I posted it on Facebook, on Twitter, on Link Local Network. Anybody who wants to join the show can call in. And the phone number to call in tonight is area code 323-580-5755 and share your thoughts. If you have any type of an addiction, okay, this isn't just limited to people with drinking problems. Okay, this is really an expansion on that. Drugs, prescription meds, sex, food addictions, maybe you're bulimic or anorexic, maybe you're a gambler. We've had addictions to chaos. I believe I met somebody this week that the main problem is addiction to chaos. There's a need to constantly fight with everyone. And as you know, that's not a good thing, okay? But I think at one point in my life I was addicted to chaos. How about you? Did you find yourself struggling with chaos, honestly? Chaos. Okay, but if you did, okay, you can get out of it. You can grow from it as we all can. We all can get beyond all of our problems, challenges, issues. And how do we do that? One day at a time, one step at a time, and we're here to help you out, okay? I'm going to share with you what worked for me, and hopefully you will share your thoughts, your concerns, anything else. Just, again, that's how this program works. It's just people sharing. I'm not a clinician, a psychiatrist, psychologist, a counselor, nothing like that. Although some days I'm a real estate broker. Some days I feel like I'm a counselor, okay? And again, I feel like I follow a ministry that was set forth to me, is to share what it's like to stay sober. Okay, so what? Big deal. I can't drink. Well, wait. Let's straighten that out. I can drink. There's nothing stopping me from drinking. Okay, nothing. No one, there's no court order, nothing. I don't have any significant others that says he can't. Okay, I can. That's right, I can. Let's see if we have a sound for that. I can. Let's see. Wait. Oh, okay. Want to repeat that? Oh, okay. Well, that was a listener just sharing their thoughts. Okay, but again, I can drink all I want. I choose not to. It was when I got in this program and learned about the fact that I had choices and that I could change what, you know, through my choices, I could have a better life if I so choose to, okay? And it works. I tell you what, it works. It worked for me, and I'm so grateful and glad. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what. It can work for you, okay? You don't have to spend tons of money, although there's a lot of recovery programs out there, and gosh, if you need them, do them. If you need a doctor, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a counselor, so what? Go to them, okay? You go to the hospital when you're about dead from drinking too much. I mean, I heard a story yesterday. Oh, my gosh, the guy's like 140 pounds, and he was about 110 when he finally quit. Drinking, knocking down a gallon of Jack a day, a half a gallon of Jack a day with 30 cans of beer. Holy cow. I mean, that's even more bigger than he was. But again, you know, sometimes we pride ourselves in the amount of alcohol that we drink. Not today. I think of all the money I spend. Oh my gosh. All the lives that I ignored, neglected, maybe even ruined for that matter. Sure, I don't know. Maybe I did. But I'm not proud of that. Not at all. I'm not proud of some of the things I did. And I'm grateful today that I have a chance and the opportunity to make it up and make it better. So, again, throughout the night, we're going to be repeating the phone call if you guys want to share any thoughts, ideas, have questions. 323-580-5755. I talked to my mother today. You know what? It's Grandparents' Day out there, by the way. Okay? And I don't know if you guys know that, but it is Grandparents' Day. And happy Grandparents Day to anybody who's a grandparent. I made it. I'm a grandparent. I am the biological grandpa, okay? I'm not really the grandpa that everybody runs up to and says, hey, grandpa, how you doing? I'm kind of in the background, but grateful to still be there, okay, that I'm allowed to come around my grandson so far and just tell my daughter how proud I am that she gave birth to a wonderful kid and that she's married. She just celebrated 6 years of anniversary with her husband, Justin, who just had his sixth birthday. So happy birthday, Justin. Happy and congratulations to you and Jess on your six-year nuptials. You can always see my daughter on Facebook. You can check her out. My other daughter, Natalie, is going to be married in, I think, April of next year to a wonderful guy named George. And I got to tell you something. I'm really proud of her, too. What a pick they both did for each other. And you know what? It's amazing, you know, that life goes on even if we screw up, okay? That there are people, their kids, some of them grown and willing and knowledgeable. You know, I was really concerned because, you know, how they say that sometimes alcoholism follows the pattern in families. And you know what? My dad was an alcoholic, and I, too, am an alcoholic. And, you know, the question always becomes, what is an alcoholic, okay? And generally, the best term given is someone who drinks to get buzzed, okay? There's a lot of people that drink. Now, the topic that I thought we'd bring up today is... What? What's so funny about that? I was going to say zero tolerance for driving. Zero tolerance for driving and alcohol. Now, why would I bring that topic up? You know, because what do? I think all the time. I'm always thinking. You know, and I think about it a lot. You know, there's a lady today that just got, or yesterday, I believe, she ran into a state trooper. We do hope and pray that the state trooper is well. You know, here he is serving us as a state trooper, okay? And you say, well, he's getting paid to do that job. Well, it's a very dangerous job when you're around cars and vehicles and especially people that don't follow the rules and the laws. And this young lady had been under suspension, I guess, for driving under the influence already. And again, I might be taking this out of context, but the long and short of it is that she had a car accident and hit this trooper. He's going to live. But she's going to be in a whole lot of trouble because she got behind the wheel again and driving a car. Now, again, what is the point and purpose that I'm pushing and promoting the fact that, you know, zero tolerance for driving while you're, you know, drinking. No, my thought is that if you drink at all, you shouldn't be allowed to drive, okay? And again, that's just my opinion. You know, you could say yes, you could say no, you know, whatever. It's just my opinion. But the reason, understand the reason why I gave that as my opinion, okay? And that's, I think, what's important for you to understand. And the importance is that most alcoholics, for most of us, anyone that's considered an alcoholic, one drink is too many. And 10 or 20 is not enough, really. We can just keep drinking until we pass out or whatever. And one being too many, try to tell us to stop, you know, once our mind gets going, thinking that, oh, I can handle one. I can handle, I could probably handle two or three. And by that time, it's too late. I drank more than I should have already, and that's not a good thing. Okay? So what I'm saying is if we made it a zero tolerance, we might stop more people from driving under the influence, okay? We might get more people to take cabs. We might have more designated drivers. We might have less people driving thinking that they can handle what booze they put in their body. Now, that becomes a problem potentially because of the income that something like that definitely generates, okay? And it does generate it from a multitude of ways and purposes and practices. And what do you mean by that? Well, you know, the laws, the courts, the courtrooms, all the money that you get from the courtrooms, from fines and attorney's fees, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so it would greatly affect a lot of things, you know? And no traffic point. Okay, and hang on the right, for the right ahead. Okay, hey, there it is, Paula Fagan. Okay, my favorite news announcer, by the way. Okay, for WBBM AM FM. She's the news person. But I tell you what an incredible news person she is. Okay, isn't she? For any of you that have listened to her, you know, you gotta love that person. She's just one heck of a news person. Very professional. She doesn't make any mistakes. And nothing like me. I am just a mistake maker over and over again. And I got it down to a science, don't I? Absolutely positively. I understand. So tell me more about you when you have a moment or two. I'm multitasking, as you can hear, as I always do, and I don't know. Let's see, and I already said yes for that, and going back to that. Okay, so back to Paula Fagan, just a wonderful person. I met her and her husband, Bob, and, you know, it was great because she just has a set of pipes and she does it so professionally, and I don't know that I could even be, you know, qualified to shine her shoes, but I could listen, and as a listener, I totally enjoy Paula, so there you go. Paula, thank you very much. Has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I just wanted to let you know. You know what? She probably reports on these accidents too, by the way. You know, being a radio news announcer, Paula Fagan, okay, from News Radio 78, WBBM. You can probably find it on the Internet and look her up. So she's there. You know, the Internet's a fascinating thing. You certainly can get around and get a lot of things accomplished on the Internet, don't you think? I think so. Absolutely, positively. So, okay. So back to the conversation at hand, right? Let's see. I've got this little muse. Let's see. Okay. See, if I knew all these different things, let's see. No, I don't want to do that. Okay. Yeah, that's what happened to that poor lady when she got busted for having that accident. Plus, seven other people, by the way, in another car got also injured in that. And you know, nobody intends to go in a car. Well, that's a dumb question. Not everyone intends to get in a car and get into an accident. But you know what? Once you have that first drink, you surrender your will. You surrender your will to what? To the drink. That's really what an alcoholic does. That's really what people like me do, is we surrender ourselves to the drink. And what does that mean? We're at the mercy of some really stinking thinking. Absolutely positive. Stinking thinking. And, you know, what's come up, I had a tough week because, you know, I'm in real estate. I'm frustrated. I don't know how to be a good boss. Just because I'm a boss doesn't mean I know how to be a good boss. Just because I'm a dad doesn't mean I know how to be a dad. You know, so not that these are excuses, but these are the realities of life, or at least my life. And, you know, maybe you understand or feel the same way. Maybe you understand the frustration when, you know, people hold us out to know more than we really do, and maybe we hold ourselves out to know more than we really do. That's the other thing. I mean, what role, what part of that do we create and cause in our lives, the expectations that people have that we are going to, you know, do our job and then some, et cetera, et cetera. So I know being the boss, you know, it's like racing to get to the top of the hill. And then once you get there, you're like, oh, my gosh, wait a minute. I don't think I'm really prepared to be on top of this hill. Well, that's kind of the wrong time to figure out that you are not equipped or ready. But that's kind of what an entrepreneur does. I'm just going to be really candid. People that run businesses on our own, we don't always give a whole lot of thought to the process. Does that make sense to you? We don't. We just kind of jump in the boat and say, let's start paddling, and then we realize, oh my gosh, we're in this river and it's really moving, and are we prepared to, you know, go upstream, and do we have a paddle big enough to get there? That's okay. Always did a lot of looking before leaping. Now maybe I'm a little bit too looking before leaping. You know, before I leapt, before I thought, I just jumped out there, you know? And let's see. By the way, yes. See, this is what I'm saying. By the way, it'd be good. Where's Ken? My associate Ken is not here tonight again. 2 weeks in a row, missing in action. Let's see. But I do value when he's here because it's, you know, for a lot of reasons. He's got a lot of wise things to share. He allows me to have a break, you know, here and there, and takes over, and he does a great job. So, Ken, we miss you, and come back. Okay. Wasn't today a wonderful... Did... Okay, I am emailing, right? I know, I shouldn't be emailing, but... Emailing, texting, whatever. All of the above. You know, I think we have a chat room in here, too. You can email, but I don't even know how to get into it. I'm lucky that I'm able to get on the air. If you follow the link to get on the air, you will be able to get there. By the way, I do want to say hello and a shout-out to Arna out in California. She did a great job, was it last week? Joined me on the air, shared a lot of personal experience, strength, and hope, what it was like to be the mother of a son who has an addiction to hydrocodone, highly addictive prescription medication, and she explained how she watched her son just kind of pull himself out of the world from all the different activities that he was involved with, including school and work, and found him losing, you know, opportunities that were very important to him and to them too. So, you know, it hydrocodone, whatever it is, you know, it's just tough. And what do you do? And this mother was able to, share from a firsthand experience. And I know it was tough for her because, you know, we spoke before she came on the air, and, you know, she hadn't done that before. She was an active member of the past of Al-Anon, which is a great support program for anybody who has someone, a loved one in addictions, caught up in addictions. At least, you know, Al-Anon will give you a hand up on what to do, how to do it. In fact, there's a possibility, I don't think it's going to happen so much tonight, but my mother, who is a big Al-Anon member, or was very active in Al-Anon, she thought she might be coming on the air tonight to share some experience, strength, and hope again. And, you know, I enjoy when my mom comes on because a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, it's my mom, and we have a reasonable conversation on the air. Okay, for what reason? Maybe she's just less apt to pull all the other stunts that she does on me. But, you know, on the other hand, she's got some good wisdom because she's been there. My father was an active alcoholic for the majority of his married life. And, you know, he went from being a fun guy that my mom married and had kids with to being kind of a boob. And then he quit drinking and finished his last couple years out more humble and grateful that my mom was stuck with him and helped him out with his health issues as they related to. So, again, my mom, if she comes on the air one of these days, again, it will be great to hear because, again, she's got some good experience, strength, and hope that we could all benefit from. And, you know, and it's my mom, for crying out loud. I think we all want our moms and know that our moms, I see all these people all the time sharing with their moms in all types of ways, and why would I be any different? You know, it's my mom, and, you know, I guess I'm proud that she, when she helps out, and does she stress me out sometimes? You know, if I let her, I learned to, you know, draw a line between how long and when I'm going to continue to talk with her and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what, when she does talk and she has something good to say, it's good to hear from her. You know, it's good. Just like we all want to feel wonderful about our significant others, maybe our kids, that, you know, you see them on the ball field, that they're playing well, they're doing, you know, doing the right thing. Sure, we all have that. There's that sense of entitlement, I guess, call it whatever you may. Okay, area code 323-580-5755. Tonight's topic, zero tolerance for a driver in a car. What are your thoughts? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Why? You have a chance here to be heard. You have a chance to share your thoughts. Maybe you don't even have one. Maybe you will develop one by the end of the show or during the show. But again, that's what this talk show is about, is to be talk candid. You know, you don't have to be formal or nothing like that. Talk like you would to anybody and just share your thoughts, okay? And maybe, you know, sometimes we come with a belief system. We're pretty strong and staunch, and we say, hey, you know, this is the way we believe it's got to be, and you know what? And we're embarrassed to accept the fact that, you know what, after we got done, you know, listening to somebody else share their personal story, we find out that, well, maybe we can change our mind. Maybe we can cut loose and be a little bit flexible as far as what we believe because, you know, we saw a different side of it. And that's the beauty of a 12-step program, giving all of us the opportunity to share what's on our minds. I mean, that's all I've ever really wanted in most instances, just to be heard. I wanted somebody to say, hey, Dan, what you have to say is important, even though we don't agree with you. How's that? Jane and Ron Ramsey. Okay. Hello, Ron. How are you? I'm fine. Did you call to be on the air and to join the show with me? Oh, okay. I was good. Well, good. Did you have a safe trip? Everybody's okay? Well, great. Well, we enjoyed having you at the last week's picnic, which, by the way, we had last week's picnic. That was great. Wasn't that a good time? Last week's picnic, wasn't it a good time? Yeah, that's great. It was nice of Mike and his wife to host the picnic and share it with the rest of us. And, yeah, we got to do some more stuff like that, that service work. That's wonderful, you know. So, well, good. So what are your plans for the week? Anything in particular? Yep. All right. One day at it. You're right. Good thing. One day at a time. Okay, well, I'm going to get back to my show here, and I'm glad you're doing well. It's okay. And maybe you'll join me one of these days. Otherwise, have a good week, and maybe we'll do lunch or breakfast one of these days, and I'll actually show up, okay? All right, Ron, thanks for calling. Bye. You know, that's kind of what you got to hear, what a sponsor and sponsee, you know, a conversation between the two of us. That was my sponsee checking in. He went had a great weekend. He went out to Iowa with his wife to visit her family and friends. And, you know, in the past, if he was drinking, he probably wouldn't have felt up to going. And if he did go, he'd probably be in the passenger seat because, you know, who wants to go with someone who's drinking and driving? Absolutely not. So his wife, who is a friend of mine as well, even before I started sponsoring her husband, she was a member of Al-Anon, and she would attend Al-Anon meetings because she felt that her husband had an issue and she needed some help dealing with it. And so at some point in the future, we might get both he and his wife out here to talk a little bit about what it's like to be, you know, a couple working a program, with one of them working an AA program and the other one working an Al-Anon program. But there's help for anybody and everybody if you want it, guys, okay? And that's really what the message is. It's not so much, you know, to I don't want to say glamorize because we're not glamorizing this, but, you know, it's important you know that people can get help from any addiction and you don't have to do it alone. And I know that his wife is just tickled pink the fact that she's got her sober husband back and that they're doing things together, okay? And that's really what the important thing is that they're doing things together. Instead of he drank and he passed out, he drank and he didn't want to do anything. He drank and, you know, they didn't have any money to do stuff. You know, does that touch anybody? Does that remind anybody of issues that they may be having now or in their past life? Of course it is. Of course, that's what happens with alcoholism. People, you know, they drink and their life becomes, you know, evolves around drinking. And that means you have to plan your vacations, your trips, when your significant other who's going to go is going to be sober, because you certainly don't want to drive if they're not sober, correct? You know, and that's just one of the many different ways that we have to, I don't know that that's a fair thing that I could say we, because I certainly never went to an Al-Anon meeting. I probably could have, but I didn't. You know, I was still caught up in my addiction before I realized and recognized that, you know, my spouse probably, I could have gone to a meeting or meetings on behalf because of my spouse, too. So, whatever. I mean, whatever the reason, that's the beautiful thing about these programs, too, is that, you know, all you have to have is desire to learn, to grow. You know, if you think you have a problem or your loved one has a problem, get help, okay? Don't sit there and just go, oh, I'm a victim. I'm a victim here, and, you know, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Well, you're going to do good things. That's what you're going to do. You're going to do great things. And I'm going to take a station break here. I'm going to stop for a moment, and I'm going to run and get some coffee. I've got it made, but it's in the other room. So talk to between yourselves. Have a good time, and I'll be back in 2 Witches of a Tale. Okay, I'm coming back. That was one twitch, two twitch. Okay. That's having a helper would allow me to take a moment break. I know, live broadcast, unfortunately you have to hear that stuff, but oh well, I don't have a mute button. So please tolerate it, but it's real life, okay? This is a real program, and I'm having some real coffee here, and I'm grateful that you're still hanging in there. Okay. I love weak coffee. That's right, weak coffee. If I drink weak coffee, I could drink more of it. I couldn't drink that heavy-duty premium stuff these guys make. You know, you go to these coffee shops, oh, my gosh, you're just choking on it, so... That's not for me, okay? For me, what I enjoy is a nice taste of coffee, but I don't have to have, you know, any convincing amount or sum of coffee in there to prove, you know, whatever. I just don't need it, that's for sure. So, okay, so we're back here, and the topic is zero tolerance driving. Actually, the topic could be whatever you want it to be. I just thought it was a good topic simply because I heard this you know, this lady who went back out, got behind the wheel, and, you know, what kind of person is this person not sick? Absolutely. If you really think that you can drive and you can get behind a wheel, especially if you've got a pending, you know what, an appending conviction, or not even a conviction, court case, I guess, that's what you would call it, a court case, you know, yeah, you got a problem. If you think you could drive, that is definitely not a good thing, okay? You should have learned. And you know what? That's the thing about alcoholism. You know, people don't think right. We have a thinking problem, and then we throw alcohol in it. I constantly tell people, just imagine me walking around with all these wires kind of coming out of my head. That doesn't mean I can't function, because I function fairly well. I'm a reasonably successful realtor. I think I'm in the top 5% of the country as far as sales, but maybe not. Maybe I dropped down, but I'm definitely in the top, I don't know, 25%, okay? I think I do fairly well. But you know what? When I put alcohol in my brain, oh, my gosh, it just sends everything into a tizzy, a frizzy tizzy. And that's, you know, that's where it goes. And I've learned that you know, I do and function better, much, much more healthy when I don't drink. That's right. So guess what? So I made a choice that I would not drink anymore, at least not for today, one day at a time, because I realized that when I drank, my life really was a whole lot different. And I won't going to tell you it was better, because it wasn't. Okay, there was problems, there were issues, circumstances, you name it. It was, you know, unbelievable. And I'm just glad today that I realized it at a time when I could do something about it. And again, you know, it's not the easiest thing to do. I'd be lying to you to tell you I did. Oh, yeah, it was no big deal stopping. No, it was a big deal stopping from so many different reasons. Number one, my pride, my ego, that was like a big problem, okay, because it was like telling me, oh, my gosh, you can't drink? Well, you know, I had to remind myself, yes, I can drink, but choosing not to was a healthy thing for me. Now, do you make healthy decisions in your life? You know, I hope so. Today I ran into a bunch of guys. I was out in Aurora, Illinois. I had to meet a client. Well, we'll talk about this client in a second because this is kind of funny in some way, some circumstances. But, you know, I met this client, and while I stopped and went to Dairy Queen. And while I was at the Dairy Queen killing some time and eating some ice cream or whatever they sell, what is that? I don't even know. Is that considered ice cream, Dairy Queen? I don't even know if I want to know because I like it too much. I don't want to ruin it for myself. But so while I was having it, I ran into these guys who were bicycling. And I said, wow, is that a group and a club you belong to? And they go, no, we just wanted to belong to somebody. We just thought we'd ride along. And it was advertised as a ride-along, and everybody was welcome. And I thought that was so cool. You know, really, that was pretty cool, guys. Thanks for sharing that with me. Because, you know, the thought was that, you know, I'm thinking you have to be a club to do stuff like that. No, all along, people want to do things together, okay? And it doesn't have to necessarily involve alcohol, but that's what my life did. You know, on a beautiful day like this, I would have probably gone into the bar, sat down, said, hey, I'm going to have a drink or two, and by the time I'm done, I might see the sun still out, but that was the next day. And I'd have been a whole lot lighter. Cash-wise, I would have probably spent most of the money that I had, you know, that I probably should have used to pay bills. And, well, today's different. I don't do that, okay? That doesn't mean I got all the money in the world anymore. No, but I'll tell you what, I don't have those kind of bills, and I don't have those kind of issues and challenges that I did before. I have the opportunity to earn a living, and I'm grateful for that. And I like what I do. I'm a real estate broker. I don't always like the job. I'm not going to tell you otherwise. But you know what? I do like the fact that every day is a new day and that, you know, I can make things happen if I want to. And if I try to learn how. This program has taught me so much on how to learn and to live and to love and to accept my powerlessness over people, over places, over things. And because I do that, you know what, I really do believe I'm much more successful in my life than I was prior to getting in this program. So, I don't know, on some degrees, I think that I'm so much better off these days because I'm working a program in recovery, and I wouldn't have found this had it not been for this program called Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, this is not a show that's promoted by Alcoholics Anonymous. You won't see it on any website. You know, because that's not what this show is. This show is a candid discussion about what it's like to be sober in today's world. You know, do I get angry? Do I get hurt? Do I get frustrated? Of course I do. Oh, I don't want to say every day, and certainly not long periods of time like I used to when I drank. But that's the difference. I have people that are supportive. I went to an open speaker meeting yesterday and listened to this guy give the lead, and it was a great lead. And I've known him, and I watched him evolve from where he was to where he's at. And I watched and listened as he talked about the choices that he had that he could have been making, which included he could have been drinking over several issues that impacted him during the week. But because he is working a program in recovery, he no longer had to. And you know what? That's the magic and the mystery. I don't even say it's a mystery. That's the magic of this program of recovery, is that, you know, it works for everybody who works it. You know, you can get it too if you want it. You know, it's like the Beatles song. If you want it, here it is, come and get it. But you gotta hurry, because it may not last. Did I hear you say that there must be a catch? Will you walk away from a fool and his money? Okay, well, I don't know if that was what they meant when they actually wrote that song, but it sounded like it fit for the moment. And guess what? Since this is my show and I'm the one that's doing it, okay, there you have it. That's why I interjected those thoughts. Which is cool, you know, and that's the beautiful thing, too, about having a show of your own. You can make up some things. Now, if I'm plagiarizing on anything, uh-oh, and I better hit the road and get done. But on the other hand, I think we do okay. So there we go. Okay. So we finished a half hour. Nobody's called in. We're looking for callers. I thought we were going to have a couple callers. And, again, it's hard to plan a show because we don't have, it's kind of a laid-back, easy-going format, okay? If you feel like calling in, do so. If you don't feel like calling in, that's okay. You don't have to, okay? It's nice if you do it, okay? But if you don't, that's okay. Let's see. Ba-ba-ba. In, okay, well, let's see. Okay, I'm getting distracted. I'm so sorry. Okay, back to the show. Back to the show. I had to laugh because there was one time. Okay, let's see if we can do this again. 1-323-580-5755. We're going to call the show. And I'm going to tell you, this is like being in my head, okay, when I drink. Oh, talk radio. Okay. Press 1. Okay. Let's see if we're going to get on the air here, and maybe we'll talk to ourselves. Okay.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, are you? Is this Dan's brain again? You know,
isn't it something, folks?
He's going to
repeat
everything
I say.
You ever have
something
like
that in your life?
Yeah, well,
this
is what
it's like being in my brain on drugs, on
alcohol.
Okay?
Okay?
I hear myself talking to myself
over
and over and over.
Again and again.
And it
doesn't
make any
sense.
And I
convince
myself
of
silly things,
stupid
things.
I talk to myself
saying, hey, you know,
I represent
whether the world gets, you know,
has a right,
right
to
you know,
mean to me.
Isn't that amazing? God, I tell you,
this is the fascinating part of the show from here.
Okay, Dan, now what
do you
have
to say
for yourself?
Okay.
Don't you have an original thought
of
your own?
No, of course.
You're just going to repeat everything
I
say.
Well,
I don't think that's very cool.
I think you should have your own original thoughts.
Don't you, folks?
Okay.
You listen to me.
Yeah, I know.
I told you this looks like being in my brain.
Well, this is like being in an alcoholic's brain. We just talk to ourselves.
We convince ourselves we're right.
And we repeat it over and over again.
Like it's no big deal.
Although sometimes we get mad at ourselves.
That's when we're walking on the road.
You know, and you see one of us talking to ourselves.
You make me laugh. I'm talking to myself and I'm laughing.
I don't even need a phone to do that.
I can do that in real life, actually.
But the phone is just kind of a further understanding for you folks
that are listening.
What is it like for an alcoholic like me
to go through life on a day-to-day basis?
Okay.
Did you learn something here?
Would you keep repeating?
Man, this is like getting old. See, it wasn't too bad when I was drinking.
Because
you
know,
I was used to it.
And
you
didn't
talk
to
me all the time like this.
You gave me a break.
You know,
and
then
when
I didn't want to talk to you, I just pretend I ignored you.
Didn't I?
Of course I did. Yes, of course. We do those things.
All right.
So,
how
much more are we
going to
endure this? Are we losing anybody from the show?
Hey,
anyone listening, if you just decide you couldn't handle this,
maybe you can relate to it.
Who knows?
Maybe it's more relatable than the other thing.
Who knows? I mean,
that's really the purpose of what I'm doing this show for.
Give you an insight into the brain of an alcoholic.
Hello. Is that
you
or
is it
me?
What are we talking about? Okay. All right. Tell everybody, Dan.
Remind everybody to call the number.
And get off the air now. Okay.
There
you go. 323-580-5755.
Okay,
that was good. You're really
good.
I was real proud of you.
Okay.
Maybe I'll
have
you
call
back
another
time.
What do you think, folks?
We have a call back?
All right,
we're going to cut them off now.
Okay. Bye, Danny boy. That was good having you on the show. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that funny how you can crack yourself up? Well, I can crack myself up all the time. But, yes, it's kind of like what it's like having a conversation with yourself in your head. Now, you don't actually hear the words all the time, but you do understand what's going on. Okay, and, you know, it's really funny because when you take these evaluation tests, okay, and they say to you, well, do you ever find yourself talking to yourself? You know, well, I got to believe that anybody that's reasonably intelligent would say no. I didn't admit that I was, you know, this is before I started working on a program recovery, but I'm not going to tell them that, you know, I'm really whacked out. I don't want them to find out because then guess what? They won't give me my driver's license back. You know, and I think that they're coming around to realizing, okay, and not through just my little, you know, helpful interactions here on the air, but I think they come to realize that maybe more people are misusing the program and not getting the help they need and yet still driving, okay? You know, again, driving is so dangerous today. Even when you're sober, I got to tell you something. It can be scary, especially on the expressway. I know friends that don't even drive on the expressway just simply because it is dangerous. It is very dangerous to drive on the expressway these days. So, okay, today I'm going to read now. We're coming into, all right, so area code 323-580-5755 if you wish to join us, if you wish to share a thought, something. We welcome that. I do. I welcome it. Now we're going to talk about the thought for the day from the 24-Hour Day book. This is a book printed by Hazelden. Okay, Hazelden. Okay, 24 hours a day, and we're going to read the thought for today, which is September 7th. The AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, thought for the day. Another of the motives of AA is easy does it. This means that we just go along in AA doing the best we can and not getting steamed up over problems that arise in AA or outside of it. We alcoholics are emotional people. Oh, that's so true. And we have gone to excess in almost everything we have done. I'll vote. Yep, that's me. We have not been moderate in many things. We have not known how to relax. Holy cow. Although I'm going to fall asleep here. And then, you know what? I'm going to yawn all this time on the air, and then I'm going to go home, and I won't be able to sleep. Okay? That's the way it worked for me. I'm going to check into that CPAP. CPAP. Maybe I should use one of those. Okay? Everybody tells me I snore. Okay. Faith. We have not known how to relax. Faith in a higher power can help us to learn to take it easy. We are not running the world. There you go. We're not running the world. I am only one among many. We are resolved to live normal, regular lives. From our AA experience, we learned that easy does it. Have I learned to take it easy? Okay? Easy does it. Have I learned to take it easy? Okay? Have you? Are you? I'm still learning, guys. Okay? I'm still learning. Route 59, Johnson's, and 6929 Lake. Broken and down. Okay. Broken and down. Junky signs. All right. So, now that was the thought for the day. Let's get to the meditation for the day. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Sheltering arms express the loving protection of God's Spirit. Human beings in their troubles and difficulties need nothing so much as a refuge, a place to relax where they can lay down their burdens and get relief from cares. Wait a minute. Human beings in their troubles and difficulties need nothing so much. That's right. They need nothing so much as a refuge, a place to relax where they can lay down their burdens and get relief from cares. Say to yourself, God is my refuge. Say it until its truth sinks in to your very soul. Say it until you know it and are sure of it. Nothing can seriously upset you or make you afraid if God is truly your refuge. Oh, you know what? I wish I tell myself that God is my refuge, okay? And I say it. But you know what? Sometimes I take it back, and I don't leave it in his hands. I put it in his hands, and then I take it back. And how wrong is that of me? Because it just makes my life so much more difficult when I could have it a whole lot easier if I did just that, if I turned it over to him and left it to him, right? Why do I need to take all these problems of the world back into my life? I don't need to. Sometimes I do it because, why? Well, unfortunately, because I think I am Superman. And maybe I know all the answers, and I don't. I will be the first to tell you, I don't know all the answers. I don't know much of anything, you know, like that song says, I don't know much, but I know I love you. Well, I don't even know that. I know I love some people. I should love everybody. We should all be a loving group, shouldn't we? Just love, love, love. That would be a good thing, okay? But... All right, back to the thoughts of the day. See, I get off on these tangents. You know, it's very easy to get off on a tangent, you know, especially if you're one of us. We have a mind that just keeps on running. Okay, so prayer for the day. I pray that I may go each day to God as a refuge until fear goes and peace and security come. I pray that I may feel deeply secure in the heaven of his Spirit. You know, it's easy to talk the talk. But to walk the walk is always a challenge. What do you do? Do you walk it? Do you talk it? Do you believe it? Do you have an opinion? Area code 323-580-5755 if you care to join me. If you want to share your thoughts, you want to criticize, critique, we don't care. We appreciate everybody who even listens. So if you want to be one of them people that listen, and want to share their stuff, you know, their experience, strength, and hope. Hey, don't be afraid. Just get up on the phone here and call in, and, you know, you can share all that stuff with us. We'll listen. We won't be mad if you say something that we don't want to hear. Well, maybe not. It depends on how well you say it. You know, I had this guy I was working with. I got to tell you, this is part of what frustrated me this week. I was working with this guy. And I went into a meeting, and, you know, some days, I am known to say stupid things, okay? All right. Like, I congratulated this week this one lady. I was at a restaurant, and I was watching her, and she had this wonderful interaction with her granddaughter, okay? So after I watched this thing go on for a while, because we were sitting across from this lady, you know, she came in, she sat down, she got kids' crayons and all this stuff. And I thought, wow, what a great grandma. What a cute little granddaughter. So I was leaving. I said, you know, you have the greatest little granddaughter. Okay, what happened? Yep, it wasn't her granddaughter. It was hers, her kid. And I just called her kid her granddaughter. Oh, man, I had to get out of there because I was a little bit, I wasn't really too embarrassed. I thought the lady was kind of cute myself for a grandma, but I definitely had the wrong age version here. So yeah, I said, oh, I'm sorry, and then I left and told my friends, and they said, why do you say such stuff? You know, I don't know. It just comes naturally. I don't mean to open my mouth and say, hey, you know, I really thought I was paying the lady a compliment. Reminds me of when I said something to my nephew's wife. Oh, my God. If you didn't hear that one, you should go archive, listen to an archived show, and you'll hear a whole mouthful on that one. You know, but it happens, okay? I just have to learn, oh, you know, I didn't mean anything bad by it. And she did look like she could be the kid's grandmother. In fact, I said, the reason why I said that is because she interacted with this kid not like a mother would, but more like a grandmother would. And an irritated grandmother at that. She didn't strike me as a mom, and I'm surrounded by a lot of people, especially women, excuse me, who are just truly, you know, crazy about their moms, love their moms, interact with their moms a lot, it's a regular thing for them to do. It's not a big deal. They they don't even think twice about it. They just do it, you know. They just interact with their moms. And, you know, so I thought I had a fairly good idea and a glimpse into what, you know, some people, how they respond with moms. And this lady was not interacting with her kid in any way, shape, or form that was consistent with that. Oh, well, I guess I think next time I'm not going to say much about that unless I know for a fact. Because, you know, I hope I didn't hurt the lady's feelings, you know, because it was not my intention to do that. Never is my intention to do that, but, you know, it just happened. Because why? Because I have to share my thoughts and opinions, right? Oh, my gosh. No, I guess maybe I should learn not to. And maybe it doesn't really matter if people have this interaction with their kids or their grandchildren. I just don't mean to do it and hurt their feelings when I'm saying it. So, yep, it happens, right? It does happen. And so have you ever had an experience like that where you felt a little embarrassed? Boy, that would be something you can call into too. So if you have a thought on our topic, which the topic for tonight was zero tolerance for drivers on the road, okay, or, you know, have you ever said something kind of stupid, open your mouth, whether you were drinking or sober? You know, when I was sober, when I drank, man, a lot of stuff came out of my mouth. A lot of stuff I don't remember. A lot of stuff I really didn't care. I just said it because, you know, I guess I was being selfish in the sense that I didn't care whether anybody's feelings were hurt, you know? I just did what I wanted to do because that's what selfish people do. They just do whatever they feel like, and that really isn't very nice, very fair, but that's kind of what I did. And so thank God for this program. It's taught me, we were talking about the topic of amends during the week, and yeah, it's great the fact that we learn how to and the whys of making amends, because many times, excuse me, we needed to make amends for some of the things that we shared, some of the actions we did, you know, etc., things like that. And so there you have it, one of the ways of what we did, making amends for some of our actions. And that is, it's an important part of recovery, making amends. Okay, well, that's not what the topic is tonight. So the next topic is, what is our topic? Well, let's see, I have the reflections book here too. And yes, of course, when I have nobody to talk to, and when nobody's calling in, and I am looking for something. Oh, I got to turn the gear down. Man, it is so hot in this place. So give me a moment while I turn the air conditioner back on. And there it is. All right. We have liftoff. We have air conditioning once again, folks. Air conditioning. You know, another reason why I do this show is to keep me out of trouble. You know what? I need to blow off a lot of steam, a lot of talk. Thoughts, actions, you know, I need to talk it out sometimes. And the show gives me the format to do that. Whether anybody listens or not, you know, I get something out of it. So, hip hip hooray for me. And that's the kind of way you got to take care of yourself. You got to take care and get what you need in your life to make things work for you in your life, right? So, let's see. Nobody is texting me anymore. Okay, so that's good. By the way, you can reach me by phone during the week, anytime, any day. If I can, I'll answer the phone. My number is area code. It's actually an 800 number, 1-800-427-5968. That's 1-800-I-ASK-YOU. That's correct. I ask you. And feel free to call me, contact me. I've had many of you call, and that I'm grateful. I always enjoy hearing from you. My friend Anna from New York, I hope you're doing well. It sounds like you're doing wonderful. I'm glad. She was struggling looking for a meeting, and she found one, and she didn't have to, you know, rush and get one that she that wouldn't work for her because that was a part of her struggle. And so, yeah, she called us up on the air. We listened to her. We actually made friends with her because it's just great. And she just got back from a big food fest, and she's having a good life. She was out listening to some music yesterday. And that's, you know, really how it works. It doesn't mean that we're going to, you know, interact and be part of each other's life in a physical way. But, you know, she's from New York, and it's fun talking with her. And it's nice to know that somebody's there to talk with you when you need them. And so she's there for me, and I'm there for her, and that's how this program works, okay? I think Wally Phillips had that fun. You know, he was pretty good. I remember Wally Phillips from WGN. I used to make fun of him, you know, because I didn't get it. But now I get it, so now I'm giving him accolades, okay? So I know he passed away. Wally, you were a good guy, okay? My day's going to come when I'm going to check out. Hopefully somebody will say a nice thing or two about me. You know, we're saddened by the fact that we lost Robin Williams. But, you know, we want people to know that there is hope. Don't, you know what? You know, if you have nobody to talk to, call me, okay? I may not be the greatest person to chat with, but I'll tell you what, it's better than not having anybody to chat with and feeling that you have no options. And believe me, folks, everybody has options. You have options. I have options. And we want you to get whatever help that you need to get over it. Because suicidal thoughts are just for the moment, generally. They're not permanent thoughts all the time. And we want you to know that if you are struggling with any kind of thoughts of a similar nature, call. Don't take it upon yourself to just do it by yourself. Because you don't have to. Do you understand? You don't have to. That is not a good thing. If you need help, you need somebody to listen to you, call me. I'll listen to you. If nothing more, I will listen. And, you know, maybe I'll have a thought, comment. Maybe you don't want to even hear a thought or a comment. But do so. Pick up the phone, 1-800-427-5968. Or you can email me at Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, at D-A-A-R-E.com. That's right, D-A-A-R-E.com. You know, what I heard was a sad thing yesterday, actually. There is a meeting here that has been going on in Central DuPage Hospital, and what I mean meeting, an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. They host it every Saturday night from, I think it's 8:30 to, you know, whenever it's finished. And I hear tell that the number of people attending these meetings is dwindling. And that's sad because they're good meetings and, you know, but if people don't need them or see the value in them, that's not too good. And going to a meeting is a great thing. Ask anybody who attends them. Anyone whose life has turned around from whence they were to where they're at today in a much, much better place. And I'm one of those people. Absolutely, positively. Absolutely, Daddy Boy. I do appreciate the fact that, you know, I found an alternative to drinking, okay, in my thinking, and that's what, attending meetings. And when I attend meetings, things just really, I don't carry all the burden of the problems of my life around with me in my head anymore. I dump them out on the table. I realize that I'm not the only one. I'm not that unique. As last night's speaker went on to say, and there you go. It's we're not the only ones in the world that struggle with a lot of things. So, Robin, you weren't the only man that was struggling with your thoughts of depression. In fact, you know what? I tell people this because it's the truth, number one. I only try to speak truisms, okay? So if you think I'm doing it because, you know, it makes the show sound more better or more, you know, controversial, you know, no, that's not the whole, that's not even the slightest interest in my mind, really. The slightest, it's not even there. I don't want to do that. What I do want is to broadcast and present to you, anybody listening, a true, you know, true aspect of what it's like to get and stay sober, really, and what's involved with it. And it's not that difficult. It was in the beginning, but as it grew along, it didn't. It got easier and easier. For why? Well, because I didn't do it alone, number one. I had a great sponsor at the time. He gave me a lot of his time, energy, and attentions when I needed it most, you know, and I'm grateful to him for that. I am. And you know what? If you need something like that, there are people out there that want to share it with you. I remember my first sponsee, the first guy I ever sponsored, his name was John, I will tell you, and John had a problem. His problem was more, it was a little bit different than what most, quote, alcoholics was. His problem was that he really liked to lie. That's right. He liked to tell lies no matter what. That was his cat's meow. If he could lie, that was fine with him. He felt, you know, total complacency of telling lies and things like that, and that was his downfall. Now, how does it figure in AA? Well, you know what? We suffer from a disease of more. Anything that makes us feel better, we want to do more and more and more. And that was the problem. He wanted to tell lies more because he loved the way he felt when he told lies. He could get away and do anything. It was a you know, freedom, a flexibility. It was, you know, all of the above, none of the above. And, you know, I'll tell you, he worked the program for some time. I know he had a problem in the beginning getting in because, you know, some of the people in the club, they have, you know, they take it upon themselves to be guardians of the club, which I know in their best intentions, they're trying to do something good. But, you know, anybody who walks through those doors is entitled to stay, I believe. I don't care. You know, I can't believe that anybody is that much of a voyeur that they would want to join an AA meeting just to have something to talk about with other people. It doesn't happen that way. It really doesn't. So if they come to an AA meeting, okay, just think of how embarrassed I was when I first came in. You know, I didn't want anybody to know that I was, you know, going to these meetings. I was embarrassed. I didn't want anybody to know I had a problem, even though everybody already knew I had a problem, okay? So when they found out that I was going to AA meetings, they were like, you know, it's about time. And I'm like, well, you knew? And it's like, yeah, everybody knows, okay? But those of you that don't really have a problem, I don't see them, you know, feeling any great need to go into a meeting. Okay, it's not like you get a badge of courage and wear it around and everybody gives you awards. Okay, which they should, though, by the way, if you are working a program of recovery. They should give you some sort of a award. You know, hey, congratulations, good job, you did a good thing. You know, hip, hip, hooray. You know, I know that spouses and family members, when they find out that you're going to a meeting and that you're involved in the program, at first, there is strong jubilations there. I can't tell you too much because, you know, I already lost most of my family by the time I came in the program, so it's not like I had a firsthand anything or anybody to really, you know, let me know that they were happy, proud, whatever. Did have some family members that threw in a couple of words or two. I know that my one sister, she was kind of a champion of me for a while, and then for some reason she just stopped. And for why, I have no idea why, but that's just the way life goes some days. Some days you know, some days you don't know. And I just certainly did not keep up with why my sister felt the need to not communicate with me anymore. But that's okay, and it doesn't mean I don't try. Maybe this week I'll give her another phone call just to say hello and let her know that I was thinking about her. And I did that to the one sister. She was kind of amazed, and then she wanted to get into some deep topic, and I wasn't ready for it. I really didn't want to get into it. I just wanted to say hello to her at the moment And I, you know, the issues, and oh, and there were political issues too, by the way. And to be honest with you, I really don't care about politics. It's not my forte. I just know that I probably would do well not to be involved in politics, because I have a tendency of telling people the truth, and I don't know that I would make it very far being that kind of a politician by being truly honest, okay? I don't know that there's room in people's lives for that type of honesty, because, you know, and that's sad. It really, if you think about it, it's sad, because, you know, don't you want somebody who is honest and truthful in position, in an office position, and yet when they don't, they talk about a topic and a subject that maybe is sensitive to you, then maybe you don't like it and you want to change it, you know. So I'm just telling you, I understand, right? I understand. And under, let's do this one. Okay, so let's see. You know what I was going to do? In a few minutes, in a few moments here, ladies and germs, we are going to read, let's see, what are we going to do? We are going to get the, let's see, what am I going to do? I'm thinking, I'm losing my mind. Help me, help me, help me, I'm alive. Okay, let's see, what are we going to do here? He was down and okay, this is not working too well here, what I'm trying to accomplish. What I'm thinking about. See, I can think about it, but then sometimes my brain, you know, I tell myself, I'm looking forward to the days. Not really. But I'm kind of looking forward to the days when I've got Alzheimer's, because, you know what, I'm not going to remember all the things that I should have. And then I won't have to worry about it, because, you know, maybe somebody else will have to worry about it for me, or maybe, who knows, maybe they'll just forget me in a home. I don't know. I don't even know if I have family members that would tolerate me or put up with me if I lost my mind any more than I did now, okay, which is probably the best way to explain what's going on in my life. You lost your mind, Dad. Absolutely, positively. It happens, okay? All right. We are going to read from Reflections. Reflections of the way life used to be. No, this is not. This is a daily reflection from the Book of Reflection by AA Members for AA Members. So the material that I use are those material in recovery that I use for myself and what I feel most comfortable about. But there's different programs, guys. There's Celebrate Recovery. I was talking to somebody again about Celebrate Recovery, a pastor actually. And, you know, he sees the pluses and the benefits of any type of assistance. You know, any way to guide people back to God, because that's what it is. It's a soul sickness. And when I say soul, S-O-U-L, soul sickness. And, you know, we've tried to take on the world. We tried to be our own director, actor, helpers, set up committee, all this stuff on our own. And that's not very good, okay? It's when we surrender and realize that, you know, we have a higher power. His name is God. He loves us, and he wants to take care of us and help us. Well, that's when we grow, folks. That's really when we grow. I just want you to know that. So, you know, don't be afraid to let God, let go and let God. It's kind of a theme tonight, let go and let God, because that is a good thing. A good thing to have, to let God into our lives, to let him control and monitor and adjust and evaluate all the things that really need to be done and that we need to do and what need to come along in our lives, and just be grateful that we have the opportunity to have such wisdom and guidance and love in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for all the things. Okay, listen. Okay, let's see. Do we have Ron to join us in the show tonight? Sure, let's ask him. Hey, Ron, how you doing tonight? You're on the air. Don't say anything dirty.
Oh, well, dirty.
What? Dirty. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dan. I'm doing good.
I'm glad to hear it. Everything, did you enjoy? Did you do anything fun today?
Yeah, absolutely. I worked.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, is that, I guess if that's your idea of fun, then you did a good thing, huh?
Yeah, sometimes you have to do what you got to do. But no, I had a good day. Worked a little bit in the morning, had lunch, went shopping, a couple of stores, and, thankful day.
Oh, good. I'm glad you did that. In fact, I want to call you. I'm glad. So we'll just take this time, even on the air, just to let you know that I'm going to meet that client tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So if you have time to go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think tomorrow may work.
Okay, well, I'm going to leave
tomorrow
around 1 o'clock. So be at my office around 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Sounds
good. We'll do that. Sounds like a plan.
Lunch date. So what?
A lunch date.
All right. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do lunch. We'll incorporate that. A little fellowship, talk, chat, whatever, and on. So how long has it been that you're sober now? Let's talk about that.
Actually, today would be 10 months.
Well, congratulations. All right. Wait, hold on a second. Wait. You got everybody clapping. That's the audience clapping for you, Ronnie. Man, that's great.
Yeah.
Congratulations. And how'd you do it, Ron?
By not drinking.
There you go. And how did you keep from drinking?
By going to AA meetings.
Yeah? What else? Anything else?
Yeah, having a sponsor and reading the material and, doing the next right thing.
And how's your life now, Ron?
Much better.
Okay. Is it going the way you wanted to, expected to?
If I say yes, I'd be a liar.
Okay, we don't want you to lie.
It's much better than before, and it's headed in the right direction. There's his ups and downs, as life does. It's not a bed of roses, but, it's an effort, it gets better.
Well, it's nothing worth drinking over is what I'm hearing you say, and that's good.
That's about the gist of it.
Well, that's a good gist, if you learn that, then you've learned a valuable thing, my friend. And, there's other alternatives and options, and what are some of the things you do when you feel frustrated or you want to reach, I don't even know if you think about drink anymore, but when you get frustrated.
I don't think about drinking, but I do get frustrated and just sit back and call somebody.
Excellent. Those are all good things, Ronnie.
Yeah.
That's great stuff, yeah. Well, it's good. That's certain wisdom that we want to share with other people, let them know that they have choices in what they do and they don't have to, drink or drug or do whatever the thing is, okay? So.
Yeah.
Well, good.
God's will.
Will be done. Yep, you got it. God's will.
I will be done.
Turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Sometimes I don't understand Him, Ronnie. I got to admit, sometimes I don't.
I don't think anybody does, Dan.
Okay, you mean I'm not alone?
No, you're not special.
I thought maybe. Maybe I was, but that's okay.
Yeah. I don't think anybody really understands, and over the ages, the concept has gone in various directions, and obviously the different sects have different views on God and stuff like that, but, it's a God of our understanding, and that's about... all you can equate it to is higher powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a guy that came to the meeting. I got to say this because he came into the meeting. I've never seen him before. He's an African-American guy. And I'm going to tell you something. That guy just started talking, and I wanted to hear more of what he had to say. He just, it reminds me of this guy. Do you remember you weren't around with Jimmy Hodges? Jimmy Hodges, for those of you that, been around a while, Jimmy Hodges was an African-American, and I'll tell you what, he just had a way about him that talked the program, and he was, did you ever go to Mustard Seed?
That's what I was just going to say, is I've heard that name before, and I thought it was from downtown.
Yeah, mustard seed. That's where you got him. Yeah. And you know, he was a regular over there, and he had a lot of things, good things to share. And it just opened my eyes, and I said to this guy, I don't remember what his name is, but I said to him, I'd really like to hear you speak. You know, I'd like to hear, you know, there are certain people that have a certain degree of wisdom and that they share that just really captivates. And I did. I said to him, boy, I'd like to hear more of what he had to say. So, I don't know, maybe some point we might even ask him to come and, you know, do some show. I don't know, maybe call in or whatever. Yeah, because I had this one guy that I was going to have come on the air, and we've been trying to get him on the air back and forth for some time now. And without giving up, you know, he does something that is related to helping people that have, you know, it's like a drug awareness program and stuff. And yet what's really funny is, and I don't mean it funny like joke funny, but unfortunately what's funny is, He does drugs, yet he is trying, you know, he sells a product that's supposed to help people, you know, out. I don't know how to best say it without giving up what it is.
I don't get it.
Well, maybe I'll explain it to you. Maybe nobody else gets it on the air either. I don't know. And if you don't get it, well, call me up and I'll explain it to you on the side. But, you know, I don't want to break this, you know, guys. And, you know, if there's
right,
any
right,
chance,
right, right,
if there's any
no,
chance
I,
to get this guy in the air.
I get it now.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the reason why, you know, we got to be careful. It's not our business to out people, you know, but you know, I've been trying to get him to come on the air, and we started talking. He called again. I haven't heard from him in a while, and then he called, and it was almost like he realized why, you know, that he did talk to me before, and, you know, we were going to have him on the air a couple of times, and I think he just bowed out. I think he got embarrassed, you know, about the fact that, you know, here he is, and he's got a heck of a story to tell, but, you know, he's still doing it. You know, his drug of choice varies from, it's not necessarily alcohol anymore, but he still has a drug of choice, and he's still drugging. And, you know, when it's working well. When I talked with him, he was talking suicide. Okay, he was talking about how he felt a need to...
Obviously, it's not working that well.
Well, that's what I said to him. I says, maybe, you know, you're going about it the wrong way. And I'm not going to tell you that I don't feel suicidal at times, because I think a lot of us do. But I try to think it through and say, this too shall pass. You know, like poor Robin Williams. Now, they said he was sober. And that's okay. We don't even have to take his inventory, but he's dead. Okay, that's the only inventory we can take, is that the man is dead. And that's a shame, you know, because there's so many people really, truly that loved him. Okay, you know, what's her name that just died? The comedian?
Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers passed away. Now, Joan Rivers was a special lady that brought humor in a special way. I don't know that I ever want to be that type of a humorist, because it can be hurtful at times, okay? But, you know, she passed away, and I'm, you know, sad to say that she passed away, but, you know, she did it, she didn't kill herself, right? She, I can't...
Well, kind of, sort of.
What?
You know, plastic surgery, you know.
Well, I think Robin... He was more committed to killing himself than Joan was, okay?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. He was definitely committed. Slit his wrist in on himself. I mean, you can't...
Oh, he did? He slit his wrist too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't hear. I didn't hear all of it, so...
Yeah, that's very committed.
Yeah, well, I guess it is. More so than he should have. But, again, you know, here's a guy that was really a beloved person. People liked the guy. I mean, I liked him. I would have talked with him. You know, I don't know. Maybe he was a putz or a yutz or whatever. But, you know, certainly would have found something good to talk about. And, unfortunately...
I had a friend of mine last February. I don't know if you remember talking about it, but... A shop owner down the street from me killed himself in his shop.
Yeah, you said that. What was that? What was that all about, huh?
I guess it was too much for him to bear that his mother had dementia and she didn't know who he was, and just saw financial difficulties, and you know there was nothing that couldn't have been taken care of. And he spoke to his attorney a day or two prior, and the guy couldn't make it till a certain day because he was out of town. And the day before, the attorney came back to solve his problems. He shoots himself in the head.
Oh, he shot himself, huh?
Yep. With a 45.
There must not have been much of his head left, huh?
Not much, I don't think.
Yeah, how sad. How sad. But you know what? Again, you know, that's part of this disease, too. You know, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and instead of getting help and getting, you know, going someplace like you, I mean, that's what takes courage, Ron. You are a reflection of courage, you know, and it's good. I'm glad that you have. I've enjoyed being your friend and knowing you, and you know, we've done some stuff together. We try to help other people out from time to time, but if you would have not sobered up, I don't know that I would have ever met you, because you know that we were running in different circles, weren't we?
Yep.
You were running.
Everything has its own course.
Yeah.
You know.
You were running with a wild bunch going on out there. Hey, my phone's going to die on you any minute, so if I lose you, it's not because I...
Well, maybe you want to finish your show off, and we'll talk next time.
Okay, well...
I'm tired, and I'm going to bed.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, and tomorrow, make sure you're here, like I said, about 1 o'clock or so, okay?
Okay, sounds good, man.
All right, good night. Thanks for calling. Remember two things. God loves you, and so do I, buddy.
You got it, brother.
All right.
God bless.
You know, and I learned that from my sponsor, Bobby K. I got to tell you something. The guy had a way of telling you that, you know, he loved you, and so did, you know, God loves you, and so did he. And it was, he just had a way about himself that made you really believe that you were loved. And I'm grateful, because there's a time when I didn't love myself. And that's what the program Recovery tells you oftentimes. Let us love you until you learn to love yourself, okay? If you are feeling unloved or uncared for, you know, again, don't. That's when you isolate. Stop isolating. Live program. Yeah, that's not a healthy thing to do. I, self, and me ism. The ism of alcoholism, you know? And that's not a healthy thing to escape on your own and it's a scary place to be, really is, alone in our thoughts. Not a healthy place, not a safe place, definitely not a safe place. You know, but for the grace of God, and again, we are grateful for all the gifts that God gives us in the way of people that appear in our lives. Ronnie appeared in my life at a time, and, you know, we've had a lot of good times together, just talking, driving. Ronnie, if you don't remember, was shot in the face not too long ago and survived. I can't believe it. Here's a guy who got shot in the face. They had to take the bullet out of his face because it stuck in his face. That's unbelievable. And yet he's alive today. But for the grace of God. You know, that's a miracle happening, folks. That's what God does. God's in the miracle-making business. He saves some, and he lets others go. For what reason, we don't know. But we're grateful that he does. You know, God has a purpose and a vision for each and every one of us. To the lowliest of person who thinks they have nothing, no purpose in life, you do. You have a purpose. Don't quit on yourself. Call us. We'll help explore that together. Okay? Really, truly, we can do that. Okay? Again, I'm not telling you we're going to solve problems, but I'm just trying to let you know that you are not alone in this if you don't want to be. Okay? And we, me, well, do my best in any way, shape, or form that I can to lend a hand to help you overcome some of the challenges, the issues that you may feel are impeding your life at this moment as we speak. You know what? We've all been through some pretty tough stuff in our lives, okay? And why we survived is always a great question, one that I'm often asking myself, why? Okay, but the good news is that is we did and we can and we continue to do so and we're grateful, right? So that's the most important thing, that we're grateful. And, you know, I use what I can to help other people. I thought this week I did a few things to help somebody. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, are they going to call? Are they going to say thanks? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. And it really not. It doesn't really matter if they do, just so that they use what opportunity we gave them to get on their feet. That is really the challenge that we hope that they take, okay? And if they don't, well, so what, okay? You know, worst things have happened in life. And I think back on all the people in my life, my friend Richard, who for years put up with me before I found a program, and I bellyached on Richard all the time. I think Richard found it very amusing and entertaining, but, you know, when he wasn't laughing, he actually, you know, seemed serious. He seemed concerned, and I'm grateful. And if, even if he did laugh, oh, well, it was kind of funny, some of the stuff that I did and went through, because, you know what, I was addicted to crazy. I was addicted to insanity. And because of that, I did a lot of things that were counterproductive to a healthy, good, healthy life, okay? And but, again, thanks to my friend Richard, who I'm truly grateful for, you know, life, I have a life. I might not have had one had it not been for Richard being there as often as he was, kind of like a big brother. And so, Richard, thank you so much. I think I try to tell you often. I try to return the favor in any way and shape I can. I saw somebody saw a YouTube one about this Asian gentleman who this little kid was caught stealing medicine. And the lady who caught him was about to, you know, call the police. And the shop owner saw him and said, "What do you need the medicine for, young man? Is it for your mother? Your mother's sick?" And he goes, "Yes." So the shop owner paid for the medicine to this lady. She said, "Hey, I'll watch you again," you know, and she was glad to get the money, and she walked away. And then the shop owner not only paid for the medicine, but he gave him some food and told him to have a good life. And 30 years later, the shop owner fell over, okay, from a sickness, and he obviously had something wrong in his brain. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor told him that it was going to be like, I don't know, the equivalent of like $1 million. I don't know what it was. It just seemed that way. And sometimes when you have no money, it always seems like $1 million that you have to pay for something important like that. So here he is. He's faced with it. The daughter is trying to take care of her father while he's laid up, and she doesn't know how she's going to pay this bill when somebody puts a note on his bed, and it said, "The bill is paid in full," and said it was already paid by them with 30 years ago with the act of kindness that he did. Basically, it was the medicine and the food and all that stuff that they gave to him. And, you know, what a beautiful message. What a beautiful, you know, wonderful thing that somebody could do is to extend that to another person and not forget a kindness that was given them. You know, do things, not because you're going to get something in return. Do it because it feels good, but it is beautiful when you have the opportunity to return the favor. So if anybody's ever done a favor for you, you may want to do and return the favor, give it back to them. So just a couple of thoughts, words of wisdom. Okay. Now, I didn't read the thought for the day. By the way, we're in the last 20 minutes of the show, area code 323-580-5755. Just in case anybody has a thought they want to throw in at the end of the show before we end, comment. We've been talking about zero tolerance. We've been talking about, you know, how sad it is. Are you taking keys away from people that are driving if you see somebody driving under the influence, I do believe as a human being, you have a responsibility to take the keys away. Now, it's easy for me to say, just like anything, it's always easy until you have to do it. But you know what? I'm trying to empower each and every one of you, including myself, so when I see it, that I will do the same thing. So Ron R. called in. Ron K. called in. Okay. And Mike's party, by the way. Mike's party. You know, that's one of the things, by the way, too. I get off on these little topics and tangents. But one of the things that came up this week was the need for more sober events and to be a little bit more open and candid about them and the fact that, that they're available and, you know, that you could have a good time. I know that people think about it in the sense of money and monetary issues, but you know what? There are those of us in the program that will make contributions, and I do believe that they're out there, just like churches. You know, if you're going to support your church, you believe in your church. Well, you know, those of us who are truly, truly grateful for this program of recovery we call Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that in mind, you know, I don't know that I would let a club close up just because, you know, we ran out of money. I don't think that should be an issue. I think there's enough of us out there in the fellowship that would say, hey, you know, if you need something, here it is. In fact, the club that we have is a gift almost, in a sense. The people who sold us the building were pleased because, you know, their father, I guess, was an alcoholic, and he had gotten sober through the program as well, so they gave us a discounted price on the building and allowed us to move into this building. And, you know, there are people like that around in the world that are that grateful for the fellowship and all the things that we benefit from in the program of recovery. And there's quite a few, really. There's quite a few things that we are grateful for. So, you know what? I honestly believe that we need to do more activities that are fun-related. And, you know, I hope at some point that the leadership awakens to the fact that, you know, we need to have a little bit more fun in our lives, right? Because it's difficult enough in today's world to stay sober. And we need to help people. You know, some of us get it right away. Some of us, but like last week, okay, let's talk about last week. Last week was Labor Day. And I want to say a big shout out and a big thank you to Mike and his wife, Heidi, for throwing a wonderful party, which we all certainly enjoyed. I know I did. And, you know, it was a wonderful thing. And you know what? We didn't involve alcohol or drugs in it. It was, we had bags, we had competition, we had lots of food, we had good fellowship, chatter, getting to know, say hi to people. It was that simple. You know what? We need more activities such as that. And people should be, you know, not be afraid to throw them, to experience them, to go to them, and create more. And what a gift, what a blessing that events like that have on all of us. I'm just going to tell you, all of us, including me. I was very, you know, I loved it. I need those outings just as much as the next guy does, the next person, you know. I don't do enough for myself, okay? And that is the facts, Jack. We need to do more for ourselves. We need to be more interactive. We need to, share our personal experience, strength, and hope with each other. And that's it. Share fellowship. We need to learn how to act and function in the camaraderie, in the section of camaraderie. Not everybody knows how to do that. It doesn't come naturally. You know, we had a struggle a lot of times with the fact that we were recovering from alcohol. And, you know, we just didn't know how to show up in a meeting or in life or at work. It was awkward. We felt uncomfortable always, absolutely positively. But you know what? We made it through. We did. We did make it through, and we got better, and we can keep getting better, not just by ourselves, but you can join other people to be better with us, and to be proud to be where we're at. I am a proud alcoholic. Why am I a proud alcoholic? Because you know what? If I was a drug addict, well, even a drug addict. But if I was a gambler, pornographer, maybe I'd be in jail now. You know, pornography or sex addiction or food, I'd be dead from health issues too. And that's a real possibility. I mean, the person that started the show, my friend Denny Eads, Denny Weigel Eads, who helped start this show, she had a food issue. And did she get help? She did. She was going to meetings for that too. But you know what? Sometimes people get tired of going to meetings because they want to be, what, quote, normal. They see other people and they think that the other people are having fun. And maybe they are to some degree. You know, are you going to tell people if you are not having a good time? Are you going to honestly fess up to them and say, well, you know, to tell you the truth, life really sucks right now. I've spent all my money in at the bar. I don't have any friends that are really truly friends. I mean, yeah, we are a bunch of loudmouths at the bar when we're together, blah blah blah. You know, but that doesn't mean that they're friends. And when I was sick, did anybody call me and say, "Hey, Danny, where you at?" No, everybody just kind of went on their way until I showed it back up. And then they go, "Hey, man, where were you? You were supposed to be buying, man. You didn't buy for me." That's kind of how it was. Okay, I have a chance. When I don't drink now, that if I've made friendships, that maybe people will call me and say, "Hey, Dan, where you been? What's going on?" You know, and that's a good thing. It's a nice and it's a wonderful thing. And I value that in my life. Do you understand? I truly, truly value it in my life. Okay? So, well, let's try this. Okay, so, all righty, let's see if we're going to do this. All right, so, let's see, 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam, and it's 5, 6, 7, open up pearly gates. Well, we ain't got time to wonder why, whoopee, we're all going to die. I don't know where that came from, why I was thinking about that, but oh well, that's the way the old brain works. Some days it's here, some days it's there, some days it's everywhere. You never know where the brain's going to be. Okay, do you? Nah. Brain, 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 go away. Brain, 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 go away. Come again another day. Okay, so, where are we at here? We're coming in the last half hour of the show, and a show that's kind of a little bit funky today. I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit, you know, funky, a little bit here, a little bit there, you know, not knowing. It's a little bit everywhere, okay? And hopefully you've gotten something out of the show. I certainly did. What did I get? Well, you know, I got in touch with my friends. I've heard from my sponsor, who I haven't heard from in a few days. I'm glad to hear he's doing good. He came back from, you know, from, where is that? Iowa. That's where he was. They had no idea that he was out in Iowa, and so I'm glad. Glad to hear he's okay. Amen. Okay? So that's a good day. Any day, you know, and hey, and I didn't drink during the whole show. How about that? Well, I did coffee, but not anything else, you know. So good for me, right? Amen. Good for me. All right. So let's see, what do we got here? We have got this, and we are going to probably, no, we're going to leave that. Let's see, we got anything there? Nope, there, and there. Nope. Okay. So, let's see. Continuing on, and we can do this. Okay, we are going to do this. All right, so let's read the thought for the day now, or the reflection for the day, because, you know, we're coming in the last 15 minutes of the show, and hey, you know, everybody's waiting to hear this, right? Okay. Our side of the street. Oh, cool. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. Alcoholics Anonymous, pages 77 and 78. I made amends to my dad soon after I quit drinking. My words fell on deaf ears since I had blamed him for my troubles. Several months later, I made amends to my dad again. This time I wrote a letter in which I did not blame him for nor mention his faults. It worked. And at last, I understood my side of the street is all that I am responsible for. Thanks to God and AA, it is clean for today. Ooh. Wow. You know, I never made amends really to my dad. Now, that's not to say, you know, it took me a while to forgive my dad. And I'm going to tell you something. I am forgiving of my father these days. But it took a while for me to get to this point because, you know, I was pretty angry at my dad. He was kind of a schmuckety schmuck. And he did a lot of schmuckety schmuck things to me. And I, you know, again, did we deserve it? Did I? Who knows? I don't believe I did. But, you know, that's just me. Don't know. Don't know. So going back to it, yeah, let's see. Going back to it. There we go. But, yes, did I apologize to my dad? You know, did I make amends to him? I don't know. Did I need to make amends? Probably. I probably still do need to make some amends to my daddy. But he's dead. What do you do for someone who's passed away? Well, we should explore that maybe next week a little bit. What do you do when somebody that you need to make amends to is no longer on this earth? Okay, do you let it go and just write it off? Oh, well, Cheerios and no big deal. Or do you actually do something and address the issue in a mature and responsible way? I don't know that I have all the answers, folks. I know that I'll try to share with you the best I can, experience, strength, and hope. There are probably better qualified people to help you in this necessarily regards. Maybe not necessarily me. But on the other hand, I am grateful for the opportunity of recognizing certain things. And again, for me, recognizing that I've finally forgiven my dad for a lot of the things that he did in my life. Okay? Yeah, they made me who I am, but they were pretty crappy when they were going down. I'm not going to deny that. You know, and I'm not going to make, and you know, that was the Joan Rivers. I guess that was Joan Rivers, you know, big thing that she took people's inventory, you know, and she took people's inventory and, you know, made it kind of humorous and fun. Well, that's not me. I don't do that. I don't want to do that. That's not my goal. I have no interest in taking and making fun of people and you know, et cetera, et cetera. No, it's just not me. That's just not what my intentions are. My intentions are to, you know, to live a good life, to have a better life than I had before, to teach others, to learn from my mistakes. And, boy, did I make plenty of mistakes? Absolutely, positively, you know. And, you know, and that's, or I guess that's really just it. That's how we work at it. Every day, one day at a time, we do it. We try to, you know, to make sure that, you know, we don't make the same mistakes the next time. And, you know, if I'm grateful if I learned something. You know, if I came away with something a little bit more than I started with, I'm happy about it. Don't you think? Absolutely, I am. I'm very happy with some of that stuff. Because, you know what, that's how it is in life. You know, we learn from our mistakes. And if we could share with other people to avoid the mistakes, I know that we all want to do that. Nobody wants to have mistakes, problems, issues, whatever. It's not a good thing. It's you know, it's not healthy. It's something that we want to shake and break and make and get through and all that stuff. So, again, you know, that's what everything. Hold on. There we go. There we go. We're going to do this. And, yep, there we go. And, it's, yes, let's see, is that happening? Yes, that happened, good. Okay, in the last 10 minutes of the show, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, no with that because I don't have any of that, and I'm not going to do that. Okay, what am I talking about? Well, you don't have to know. Okay, just follow along the bouncing ball. Okay, we're coming in the last 10 minutes of the show. I hope we had something of intelligence, reasonable intelligence, to share with you tonight. I know that I feel a lot better talking about it. I'm feeling a little bit stronger and more motivated to explain the issue of zero tolerance. I think we might save more lives. Maybe we should get a hold of the mothers of drunk drivers, MAD. I'm going to call MAD maybe during the week and see if zero tolerance. And see if we can get them to support us. Not because of what other issues are, et cetera, et cetera. It's because it's a reality fact base, okay? And the fact is that, you know what, it would be good if we learned from our mistakes and we learned different things. You know? What did I do here? Yep. Okay. That's not obviously not going to happen. Okay. So, again, we dreamers have our ways of facing rainy days, and somehow we survive. Okay. I know I'm kind of just, you know, doing a two-hour show without a guest can be a little bit challenging. I'm grateful for Ron for showing up today. And I do miss Ken when he's not here, I got to admit. I'm going to tell him, and I'll probably hug him and say, oh, Ken, I miss you when you're not here. And you know what? He never agreed to do this. I was grateful that he just kind of jumped in and helped out, and he has been jumping in and helping out. And it's great. I appreciate it. I value when he's there. So when he's not here, I do miss him and make sure I let him know that so that he feels appreciated. Maybe make an extra effort to get here when he can so that he knows that I probably bore the heck out of all you guys with some of my whimsical conversation, whatever. Okay, but this week, let's see, next week will be September 14th, right? Yeah. Next week is September 14th. Okay, I wish everybody a happy week. I hope that, you know, you realize that having any type of an addiction isn't the end of the world. In fact, it's probably a good way to slow us down a bit and get us to focus on what's important in life. And what is important in your life these days? Okay, what is? For me, what's important, my kids, my coworkers, myself, not so much work. Work is work, you know, work is work. I don't know, work is necessarily a good thing. But, you know, putting in a good day's work, I suppose, is a good thing, right? Is a good thing. So, whatever it is for you, I wish you a good week. I wish you a healthy week, a productive week, a sober week, a week where your actions make a difference in someone's lives, even if it's your own life, okay? You know, and I want to say to my friend Vlad out there, okay, I don't know that you're listening, but I want you to know that I'm going to keep you in my prayers, along with everybody out there, guys. We need to pray more for our friends. We need to pray for ourselves as well. I know that God appreciates and values our prayers, and I'm sure He recognizes and you know and knows the value of prayers and wants more prayers from us. He wants to know that He knows He put us on this earth. He knows it's a little bit of a challenge, you know. And it's nothing that we can't handle if we don't do it alone. If we do it with His blessings, if we do it with other people that He put us on this earth with, we certainly can get through this life a lot safer, a lot better, a lot easier than if we did it trying to do it all by ourselves. You know, so surrender to, just surrender. Stay humble. That's my goal. My goal to you is, my wish to all of us, is that we find the greatest sense of humility, and in that attempt or in that humility that we do find, that God blesses each and every one of us with just wonderful, wonderful gifts for turning over our problems, recognizing that we aren't God, turning them over to Him and saying, God, you know, thank you, and please take it. Take all this stuff from us. Because, you know what, when I finally realized that, number one, I'm not God, and that he is, and that he could do a whole lot better, and if I let him, it's amazing, just incredibly amazing how God does work and how he blesses each and every one of us with so many wonderful things. So may you be filled and may you be blessed with many things in life because, well, damn it, you deserve it. And again, back to don't let people drive, okay, if they're drinking. If you see somebody drinking and driving, take the keys away, okay? Now, zero tolerance, you know, again, I don't have a problem with people owning guns. I have a problem with owning a gun because guns can go off accidentally. I never saw alcohol go off accidentally. That's a choice that people make, okay? And, again, people can get hurt with a gun. People knowingly take alcohol, and if they know that they can't handle it, you know, that's not a good thing. They shouldn't be driving. They shouldn't be allowed to drive. So, yes, zero tolerance is my goal, folks. Whether it ever happens in my lifetime, I don't know that it matters. But if we could alert enough people to the fact that maybe it would be a good thing, maybe some of you that drive now and drive when you've had a drink or two will recognize and realize that maybe it's not the greatest idea to do. Maybe you aren't as strong willpower-wise as you think you are, and maybe you'll concede the fact that you don't want to see anybody hurt by your actions. Because I know I certainly don't want to see anybody hurt when I was driving and drinking, you know, but you don't think about that when you're actually behind the wheel, do you? Not at all. What you think about, I don't know, there's all kinds of crazy thoughts that as an alcoholic we go through, but that's what alcoholics do. We're just not thinking intelligently. So, again, if you see someone with keys and attempting to drive, take them away. Don't be so cheap. Maybe call a cab for them or take them and give them a ride home. Okay? You don't have to be their hero. You just do something because it makes you feel good. You know? Just make sure you realize that God himself is watching, and he's the one that really is impressed and happy with when you do good things. Okay? Just like this show. Is anybody listening? Who knows? And even if they are, you know what? Hopefully they'll get something out of it. But you know what? I'm getting something out of it because I'm doing something different with my life. You know, I used to chair the Saturday night open speaker meeting at the club, Anona West in West Chicago. And I got to tell you something. When I first started to chair that meeting, when they first asked for someone to come and chair it, I was like, oh, man, I don't know that I want to do this because I don't want to give up my Saturdays. And then I sat and thought about it, and I'm thinking, my Saturdays? What the hell do I do on Saturdays? I don't do anything on Saturdays. I sit around and do nothing because I don't go out and drink. I don't go out dancing or anything. So I did it, and I'm going to tell you something. I found that I really liked doing that meeting, you know, chairing that meeting, finding speakers, and always one would appear. When I thought I had no one, there was someone. And, you know, it was great. And with that in mind, you know, that's how grateful to God I was for the gift of being sober and giving and serving and giving back to the community. And I did. And just grateful for that opportunity. So, you know what? Sometimes we find pleasure in some of the most simplest things, things that we never would have imagined. And you may find something simple and a pleasure. Helping somebody out, doing something different that you normally wouldn't have done. All those things. Those are incredible things. You know, don't be afraid to explore and find out. You know, maybe there's somebody that could benefit from something that you do. And if that's the case, then give them your best. Give them your all. Give it until not only it feels good or hurts, but until it feels good. 60 seconds. Guys, thanks for listening. If you did, if you listened on the rebroadcast, hope you got something out of it. But I do appreciate and value all the things, all the comments you make, share with, for those of you that do share. And those of you that don't, please know that you're welcome to have and to be part of this miracle, this program called Recovery. May it be as wonderful to you as this program has been to me, okay? And maybe, too, you'll be saying that you're grateful and proud to be an alcoholic, because that's me, baby. I'm proud to be an alcoholic. So, again, thanks for listening. We'll be back next Sunday night from 7 to 9 p.m. here on Link Local Network on Blog Talk Radio on the Road to Recovery. Have a great week, folks, unless you have other plans. And I remember God loves you, and so do I. Good night.